Okay, Rabbosai. Okay, we're going to carry on with some of the halachas of the it's a hearty siman lamed beis. Some more halachas on that. I would like to just share a couple of things before we proceed. One is that we're up to Seif Vav. We're going to be doing Seif Vav. So I just want to make a couple of points. Firstly, I want to. Make a kind of a disclaimer. And disclaimer is as follows. You know, I heard from a grandson, not actually the grandson, but somebody who learned with the grandson of Shlomo Zalman, that before Shlomo Zalman used to give a psak, or he gave a shir, or he wrote a tshuva, he said he remembers very, very clearly how Shlomo Zalman used to, he saw once Shlomo Zalman taking this bottle of, the common... The common bottles of the plastic bottles of the drinks that we, and he saw Reb Shlomo Zalman opening and closing for minutes, not seconds, for minutes. He was opening and closing, looking at this angle, that, and Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Gadol HaDor, looking at how he was opening and closing the bottle opening, unscrewing it all together and putting it back in and then unscrewing. And then when asked what he was doing, Reb Shlomo was just saying, "Before I need to know the practicality, how this lid actually works, how it opens, how it closes, how exactly, you know, just you want to pass, and that's whether you can or you can't do that on Shabbos, especially in the first time you open it. So you want to have absolute 100% clarity, and before you go into the halacha, you need the 100% clarity on the practicalities." So it's it doesn't make sense. Halach is always is in the real world, and you've got to know what you are. You know, Shlomo Zalman couldn't have paskened about the bottle had he not actually known clearly, sharply how he actually works. So the reason why I'm saying this is because whilst generally when it comes to the halachas, I feel that, but I have a bit of a disclaimer with these halachas over here. It's kind of, we're learning this together. There is some areas over here which I've never actually seen it myself. We're going to be learning today about the two sides of the hides, the klaf and duchsetes, and I've never actually seen it. So I want to make a disclaimer. We're kind of learning it together, and I haven't been exposed to some of the things that we're going to be discussing. So I just want to make that very clear. I don't feel I've got any expertise in these halachas. The second thing I want to just point out yet again, because I do feel it's very good, Torah Live has got a shiur on tefillin. I don't know if you managed to see the talus one. The ones on tefillin are fantastic as well, and it does share a lot of the details how how the tefillin are made, where tefillin are, and how the creation, the making of the batim as well. It's fantastic and very, very clear. So if anybody has got access and wants to watch it, I strongly recommend it. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael Sivov, we started it last week, and we're just going to carry on. I want to start from Sivov again. And so, Chlesartet Kim Shito El Yoino, so that we discussed. The Sirtut is something which is made, unlike English text, which we tend to write on top of a line. That's the way we are trained, to write on top of a line. Loshna Kodesh, not so. It's always going to be on a Sirtut. The Sirtut is the top, and the letters are always coming from top down. So it's never written on top. On top of a line, rather it's underneath a line, and that line is called a sirtut. Shulchan Aruch says, "En tzorich lesartet kim shito elyoinu." You don't really need to do sirtut everywhere. Only the shito elyoinu, the top line within the text, needs to have a sirtut. To rest, if you're confident to write the parsha of the tefillin, without a sirtut, you may do so. Only the top, the shita al-yoyno, needs to have a sirtut. If you're unable to write without a sirtut, you start in kolashurois. If you think you're going to end up writing crooked, which I believe is often going to be the case, then you should be mesartet all the lines where you're going to write the text of the tefillin, the parshas. V'lo yisartet b'oiferes. You should not be mesartet b'oiferes. So if you want to make it very clear, sirtut, very clear lines, do not be tempted to do that with b'oiferes, with lead. Kind of making a clear, not just an indentation and a scratch, but you actually do that with a bit of color, with a bit of dye. Don't do that. They are doing it in order to keep some color there, to make it easier to after it's right from the sirtut. So he said, we're not meant to do that. Do not do the sirtut with any dye, color, or lead or anything. Rather, the way we do the sirtut is going to be by just a scratch. And that's the way they are done. We will discuss the way there's various ways of doing the sirtut. The maaseh, the way it's done, you can check in any sefer Torah, any tefillin, any mezuzah. The way the sirtut is done, they have a very, very sharp keli, and it's literally a scratch, an indentation which they do, and you'll normally feel it. You can feel it, you can see it, it's slightly visible. And when you have an aliyah, and when you open up the sefer Torah, you can see the sirtut, and that's the way it's done. So obviously it's not done with color, not with dye, not with anything, but that's the way the sirtut is done. Yesh oim says the Ramo, shetzorech lesate tomid lemalo velemato minat stodim. Some say that you make the sirtut lemalo velemato, you do a sirtut on top and a sirtut in the bottom, which is the equivalent to the English lines, you know, you put something underneath the letter. Uminat stodim from the side as well, to just make sure that you have got the vertical also accurate. But if you're able to write very beautifully without it, that's the minhag. The Mishnah says that's not really the minhag. The minhag is actually only to have a sirtut on top. Okay. That's in terms of the sirtut. Siv Zayin, halacha l'mishum is Sinai. Okay. Here in Siv Zayin, we're going to be addressing, learning and discussing the material of the klaf. So we all know that what do we write on? What is tefillin written on? So it's obviously written on. Yeah, that's right, on hide, which is turned into klaf. Just a historical point. What animal do you use? Pardon? Yeah. So I know we're going to be discussing the klaf here. I just want to talk about the batim for a short minute. The batim, for many, many years, have you ever seen your grandfather's tefillin? Now, again, we're going to talk about the klaf in a minute, but I just want to talk about the bais, just for 1 minute about the bais. Have you ever seen your grandfather's tefillin, or old tefillin? Old tefillin, they were much what?
Smaller, softer,
and smaller as well. And the reason for that is they were unable to use cow hide for tefillin. Gasses, they didn't use dakas. They used to either sheep or normally. And those were made, the hide is much thinner, and therefore the batim were much more. They were much thinner and smaller, and it was hard to actually keep them square. And to keep them, because they're much more soft. I've seen them; they're much more soft. They're very soft. Only about, I think maybe 100 or 120 years ago, they learned how to become the batimacher, learned how to actually use gasses, thicker animals, thicker hide. That's nowadays become the standard that everybody uses, a cow hide for the batim, which is much stronger, much more solid, and much better. And it's one of those things that, although of course normally we believe in Yeridus HaDoiros, and we believe that the generations before us were not as good as we are, but this is clearly, clearly, clearly one exception, that Achshir HaDoiros, the average tefillin today, there's absolutely no question about it, the average tefillin today that a bar mitzvah boy gets is far superior, there's no question about it, than tefillin, the commonly used tefillin, 150 years ago. There's no question about it, because we use gases, which are much, much better to fill in. So how that works, hashkofa-wise, how can it be that we are better than our great-grandfathers? That remains to be discussed, but it's definitely a fact. But that's in terms of the bias. Let's look at the klaf for a minute. Halacha l'mishum is Sinai, tefillin ala klaf v'loy ala duchsetus. So now, v'loy ala gvil. So there's three parts of the hide. It's three parts of the hide. There is the klaf, the duchsetus, and there is the gvil. So what he says is, he explains as follows. He's going to explain in a minute what exactly is. Goes with a klaf, but mokem boso. What you need to write, the klaf has to be on the writing has to be on the klaf, b'mokem boso. Ve'im shino boso, and if you didn't use the klaf, but use the other parts of the hide, the pasha is posel. So let's see what is this exactly. Mao klaf What is it exactly? So now, ha'oil b'shas ibudoi. When you are taking the hide of the animal, okay, you're taking this cow hide and you are processing it. So oil, this hide b'shas ibudoi, cholkin oisa lishnaim. It's divided into two parts. You kind of tear it into two. There's the upper layer and the lower layer. Chelik achitzoin, the outer layer. The outer level, the outer layer of this hide, shulitzat haseor, which is where the hair, the fur of the animal grows, nikkel klaf, that is considered klaf. Ve'apnimi, and the internal side of the hide, hadovak lebasa, which is normally attached, which is connected to the basa, to the flesh, to the of the animal, nikkel duchsetus, that is the part of the hide which is considered the duchsetus. Therefore, what does it mean when we say you must write the parshas on the klaf b'mokim bosa? What does that actually mean? So what it means is you use the klaf, which as discussed, the klaf is the outer layer, but within the outer layer, guess what? There's two sides. There's the internal and the external. So you've got to use the klaf, which is the external part of the two layers, but it's the one that actually has got hair and fur growing, but you don't use the side which is there, which has got the fur growing, rather the internal side, the internal side of that layer. So and b'mokem ayoyse kov lebaso, tehainu b'mokem chiburoi shekshu dovuk leduchzot, that would be, by definition, the part of the klaf which is normally attached prior to separating it, obviously, the part which is normally attached to the duchsetus. Our klaf. Nowadays, we don't actually separate it. We don't separate the klaf and the duchsetus. So says Shulchan Aruch. Yesh lehem din klaf. It's got the entire, we call it the whole thing klaf. What we do, we write on the side, which is internal, facing the flesh of the animal, so what they do is that they polish, I don't think polish is the right word, they tan it, they smoothen it, the both sides, and that's what it's done, so the both sides actually straightened, and that's considered, that's good enough. Even if you were to split both sides, you'd still do that processing aspect, and the internal side is scraped and scratched a lot, significantly, and all you have is the klaf. So what he's saying at the end, the part at the end that he says, is that in principle, we learned that there's two sides. Imagine this is the animal, and this is the external layer. So we said what he's really saying is that in principle, there's two parts of the hide. If you tear the hide of the animal, you're gonna have the klaf, and then you're gonna have duchsetus. And the klaf is what you've got to use. The outer layer is what you've got to use. Only what you use is this item over here, which is the klaf, but it's the internal side. You're gonna write on this, and not on the side that the fur is growing. But he says nowadays the way it's done is done a little bit differently, because we don't actually take it off and then separate it into two separate items, the klafs and duchs. That doesn't happen. Rather, what happens is they take it off, and it's not separated, but they just scrape it and scratch it off on both sides and make it thinner, thereby creating not just two items, but it's just one item which just is thinner. You scrape off the upper level and the lower externally and internally and externally, and what you have over here, that is fair enough, you can call that the klaf, and that's actually what they use. But again, you've got to use the inner side of the of this klaf. So that's what he says. He doesn't say what the gvil is. So the gvil is what he said. The gvil is once it is processed, this is going to be considered the gvil. But you will see, once it's processed, the klaf is considered the gvil. We will see later that it is interchangeable. Sometimes they'll use the lashon klaf and sometimes gvil. Exactly, yeah.
Is this the same halacha or just
the... I think it is. Yeah. But the sefer Torah, however, they leave it, it's much thicker. The klaf is thicker than by tefillin.
Yeah. No, I don't think so, because what they do is that they thin it so much that the remains is going to be klal. It must feel, for the ones who are working this, it must look and feel very, very different. And what they write on has to be a klal, because that's what absorbs the eker, that's what's processed. So there's no way that it's going to be duchsetus.
Nowadays, when you don't separate them, you don't separate
the
klal from
duchsetus, or do you separate two parts of klal? Yeah. No, what the Shulchan Aruch says, that they don't actually separate it. They polish it and they do it so thin that they don't actually separate it. As an action of separating, what happens is that they me'abed it, they thin it, and they take it off in a way that all that is remains is actually the klav.
The end result is same.
Yeah, I would have thought so. Yeah. Okay. Now. Yeah. Okay. A little more. Siv Ches.
Oh, you got some pictures there. About the height, is there some picture about duchsetus in the klav? It's very good to know about your pictures over here, because that's going to come very handy later. Yeah, I was thinking we should invite him. I was actually thinking of inviting him. We did last time, you might remember, last time we went through those halachas, we did invite him to come, and he did. And he did. He was very helpful, but I think it might be premature, but we should remember the questions and the lack of clarity in certain points. We should remember that, because I think but it might be a little bit premature, I believe. Unless you want him to come already this week. I was thinking of inviting him.
He's got,
yeah.
Different stages of the
yeah. So should we perhaps invite him at this week? Yeah, when would you want him to come?
I don't know when the best time
is. Okay, I'll be in touch with him. Let's see when he can make it. Yeah. Is there some picture of the height of the?
Not specifically about shaving it on one side.
No, there isn't. Okay. Okay, I want to just see Seif Ches as well, perhaps. Tzorich haklaf liyos me'ubot be'afotzim oy besid. V'tzorich shiyem me'ubot lishmoy. The Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch over here says, "Tzorich liyos me'ubot, you need to be processed by afotzim or besid." It's got to be processed with these items. "V'tzorich shiyeh me'ubot lishmoy," and it must be me'ubot lishmoy. The ibud, the processing of the klaf, must be lishmoy. "Tzorich shiyeh me'ubot lishmoy." We saw this earlier also, but same as the talis, it's got to be done in shmoy, it's got to be done with the right intention. So you one has to even verbalize and say and state that the processing is done for a holy purpose, such as tefillin or sefer Torah. Avle im do l'shem mezuzah apostle. But if you ma'abed it for mezuzah, it's going to be possible. The reason is because the kedusha of mezuzah is compared to tefillin,
it's less.
That's it. Very good. So therefore, if a person has in mind, I'm processing this hide, I'm making this klaf l'shem mezuzah, and ultimately you're using it for tefillin or for sefer Torah, it's no good. It's possible. Why? Because you haven't achieved sufficient kedusha in the processing of this height. You got to have intention of doing this for higher kedusha. You got to do it for sefer Torah or tefillin. If you had a low intent, mezuzah has got less kedusha than tefillin sefer Torah. Why does he have less kedusha? Why does a mezuzah have less kedusha? Probably less parshas, yes. I mean, certainly sefer Torah has got more kedusha because of this. Kol HaTorah Kula has got, you know, it's not just one specific parsha. So sefer Torah has got the highest because it's got Kol HaTorah Kula. Tefillin is a bit less because you only have segmented parshas. But why is tefillin more than mezuzah? Why is tefillin more than you got Hashem's name in mezuzah as well?
If you haven't written it yet, so how could you say
that? Yeah, but your intention is, it's the ibud.
It's the ibud. You've got to do it lishma. Just like when you have this hide and you intend to do it for, you want to do a leather catch with it, then obviously you can't use it later. It's got to be lishma. You can't use it later for tefillin mezuzah. So similarly, also when you have a lower intent or lower kedusha, you won't be able to use it for higher kedusha. But you're right. Why is mezuzah lower than? Yeah.
But presumably the other way around. Then, if you're doing a mezuzah and you say on a tefillin, the intention, presumably that would be sufficient because you're having a higher.
That's level. Very good point. Mishavu discusses that. Yeah. Rabbi said, to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the sirtut, and we said that there is some opinions that say you don't only do the sirtut on top, you also do a line underneath and on the sides as well. We also learned that the minig is it's really important to keep a sirtut without color and dye. We discussed the areas of the duchs and the klav, and that one uses the klav, the internal side of the klav is got to be processed lishma. And if one it's not sufficiently, if one doesn't verbalize it, then it doesn't have sufficient kedusha, it doesn't have sufficient lishma. And we even spoke about the fact that there's three levels within that, sefer Torah, and then tefillin and mezuzah lower down. And if one fails to have the right intent, then it would be a problem. And certainly, if one wants to make a leather couch with it, it would lack lishma, and it wouldn't be able to use it for the sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzahs. Okay, we carry on, sefer testimony. Be'ezer Hashem, we wish you a very good evening.